I'd like to welcome Mike Thomas to Pontypool and to Able Radio and to Gwyn as well, your Able assistant on the keyboards there. Mike has kindly agreed to do a session for us and to have a little chat afterwards about his life and his music and what has influenced him. And if you've never heard Mike, I can tell you that he's a Welsh boy from the heart of the valleys in Wales, and he's been making music for at least 16 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, give or take, yeah.
It is brilliant. Now, I'd like to give you a really warm welcome, Mike. Thank you so much for coming. And would start off with one of the tracks that I've been listening to, which is really good, and that is Different Man.
Yeah, this is the title track for the EP, yeah. So-called friends can walk in my shoes, a waste hopeful year. Nothing, nothing they can do. They'll get great for when they know, when they know. Their mind ruined to the soul, the ruin to the soul, ruin to my soul. 'Cause I'm tired, don't wanna be this anymore. Feel like I'm in a shell. I've been fighting a war. All I know is that I don't wanna walk with my feet in these shoes anymore. With my feet in these shoes anymore. I just wanna be different. I just wanna be different. I just wanna be a different man. I just wanna be different man. Wanna be a different man. Wanna be a different man, a different man. I just wanna be a different man. I just wanna be a different man. I just wanna be a different man.
That was lovely. Thank you very much, Mike. Now, I want to kick off with I want you to tell me about your early years, going back to your school days, living in the, you know, the Welsh Valleys, and some of your musical influences maybe from school.
That's really difficult. I mean, probably my influences when I was in school are probably the same as they are now. I mean, people like Elton John, Billy Joel, have always been big influences on me because they've been piano-based, and most of the stuff that I write with Gwyn Jones, my songwriting partner, has always been sort of piano-based. So those are the people that I mostly take inspiration from. I mean, obviously acts like the Beatles. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, whether you can hear that or not, in my music, they are the main sort of influences. You know, okay. Those are the people I listen to most intensively.
Did you have any teachers at school that kind of said, I think music is your thing?
I had nothing to do with the music department in my school. I had absolutely nothing to do with school choirs or orchestras. It all started when I was in school because around the borough council, as they were then, they were going around the schools asking people, would you be interested in joining something called the Rhondda Rock Orchestra, which Gwyn established in about 1995. Of course, none of us actually knew what it was. In Porth County, they just said, do you want to be part of a rock band? And put your name down. And there was a rehearsal in the park in Dare in Treorchy, and we all had this first meeting, and I met Gwyn, and it sort of spiraled out of control from there.
Okay. Gone uphill or downhill?
No comment.
Well, Gwyn's pointing downwards at the moment. We won't go there. Okay. So obviously you it kicked off from there. But when did you actually start writing songs? You know, you'd always been able to sing.
I was about 12. And it's a bit of a touchy subject, really. You know, Gwyn will tell anybody this. The Dunblane Massacre happened. So I ended up writing a song which was basically titled Why Do Children Have to Die? Now, at this time, the rock orchestra was sort of established to play 3 concerts for the council. So we were there, and every time we had to do it for a show, we couldn't actually say what it was called, because we all thought, you can't tell the audience that. It'll put a downer on the whole thing, so we just called it Mike's Song.
Right.
And, it went down well, but you could never say what the title of the song was, and that was how it started. Then I sort of didn't see Gwyn for about, 3 or 4 years, I think it was, wasn't it?
No.
It was about 2 or 3 years.
No.
It was, because I was able to hit notes girls couldn't hit when you last saw me.
Well, that's impressive.
And when I re-emerged, puberty had occurred, and I couldn't hit those notes anymore.
Right.
And I had another song, and basically I kind of realised that I was the only person who was going to write songs suitable for my voice. I didn't want to go messing about with keys and what have you. And ever since that second song, I've sort of written for myself.
Do they start off almost like a poem and then you put music to it?
Yeah, I mean, I've usually got an idea in my head of the kind of feel that I want to go for.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we basically stick with that, and sometimes Gwyn will have something completely different.
That second song,
That would be really nice.
Yeah, this would be interesting.
It's
an anti-war song called When the Dove Flies. One day boys will not carry the guns of men. Yeah, we will no longer stand upon the ashes of war. I feel a new dawn coming, a new time of peace. When we will stand together, when the dove flies with us soon. I see a day when the only tears a child will cry will be of joy, and the flames of hate will be extinguished by waters of peace. And we will know only love, and when we stand together, when the dove flies with us soon. We will stand together, hand in hand. We will stand together, hearts entwined. Mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers. We will stand together when the dove flies with the sun. That was it. And an excerpt of it. But I was less cynical then.
You were less cynical then. Now, you said something about some of the artists that influence you, the Beatles and Elton John.
Yeah.
But I believe also Bryan Adams, Van Morrison and Jack Johnson are some of your favourites.
Yeah, Ryan Adams. The important thing is the one letter missing.
Ah, so it's Ryan
Adams.
Bryan.
My old MySpace, that's my old MySpace page, sort of leaned away from Jack Johnson and I haven't updated it for a while because every time I go to it, it seems to be broken and I can't update it. But that's another story. I mean, there are people like Robert Wyatt sort of influenced me just because of what he's done, given his position, you know, as another artist in a wheelchair. And I can't think of many other people apart from a guy called Vic Chestnut in America, who's kind of gained cult status. But, you know, there's people like Teddy Thompson, Elvis Costello. I could name loads of people. I could spend all day reading off a list longer than the Ten Commandments of different songwriters who influenced me, you know. But
well, I picked up also that your genre, you say, is alternative, blues and jazz. I think you're very easy to listen to, but I also think that you're a combination of three singers, and I put it together as a bit of Elvis Costello, a bit of Jerry Rafferty, and with a small mix of Jamie Cullen. Now, would you say that's a fair assessment of your vocal style?
I can live with that. I honestly can't say who I sound like. Somebody mentioned Elvis Costello once before to me, and, you know, I'll take that.
You like that?
I can live with that. I have no problem with that.
So maybe you'll finally update your Facebook page now. And
well,
if
MySpace would actually allow me, you have no idea the number of times I've tried to say I am a 28-year-old singer-songwriter, not a 27-year-old.
Okay.
And the technology appears to stand in my way.
Now, one thing, on a slightly personal note here, you don't have to answer the question if not, but the message that seems to come through, particularly in A Vision and Marsha Brady, is that maybe you've had a broken heart.
Ah,
is
yeah.
Is that the case?
Yeah, A Vision is a song that I tend not to... Gwyn wouldn't even remember it now. That's recently been done, and we've never actually played it, and we won't play it because I'm still not... entirely au fait with it.
Okay.
I've never had a broken heart. One of the interesting things that I take as a songwriter is that if I try to spend my entire time writing songs about my own circumstances and about my disability, either every song would end up a different man, or every song would be interpreted as being a song about my disability, and nobody would be able to relate to it. So what I have a tendency to do as a writer is take feelings of loneliness, of isolation and what have you, and I pour them into other scenarios. You know, in effect, I'm telling stories, you know, that aren't really about me necessarily. A Vision is quite personal, but I just pour the emotions into things that people may be able to sort of identify with.
Okay, and what's the next one coming up?
And the next song will be a track called Bitter Heart.
Thank you.
Bitter heart, you're sick of all the tears you've had to cry. You don't care if we just pass you by. You're the first girl to get hurt, to lose the one they love. Bitter heart, I know things haven't worked out like you planned. Love is just a trick, some sort of hand. Don't say you've got nothing left, 'cause I'll be there for you. Sometimes we wish that the world would stop turning, we could make it go away. You say your heart's got nothing worth feeling hate. Bitter heart, there's no rhyme or reason, now they're gone. Now you say that you've never belonged. Doesn't matter that we care for you, no one really loves you now. Sometimes we wish that the world would stop turning, we could make it go away. You say your heart's got nothing worth feeling, so what's the worth of feeling scared? Bitter heart, doesn't matter what you've said and done, you can turn your back on everyone, but don't think you've lost everything, 'cause I'm still here for you, bitter heart. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Now, you have obviously said that you're a disabled man, as we can see here, but people on the radio can't.
Yeah.
And you're a wheelchair user.
Yeah.
Do you mind telling us a bit about your impairment?
I suffer from cerebral palsy. which comes with it a lot of preconceptions. Fortunately, my speech isn't affected, as everybody can tell, but it does affect motor functions, and obviously it impairs my ability to walk. And I must admit, it's also a pain in the backside. I will admit that. Being a musician, you know, many is the time when I've been to music business seminars where people have just told me outright, you will not make it because you are in a wheelchair. You know, they haven't even heard any of my material, but they have just said, you will not make it because you're in a wheelchair. And it's problematic with venues, you know.
Well, yeah, with places not being as accessible as
you like. Yeah, you know, and the sort of places that do live music, the kind of bars that do live music, it's not great for either getting to those venues as being somebody who listens to that kind of music, or certainly as an artist. I mean, even places like St. David's Hall, I played St. David's Hall, not a gig entirely devoted to me. It was to do with a group that Gwyn was working with at the time. I was performing a song, and the only way I could get to the stage was via a service lift.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's a big issue, you know.
That's it. I did a piece on a deaf rapper a few weeks ago, and he was in touch with a deaf producer who you know, well, organises gigs, actually.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll have to send you his details a little bit later, and you know, maybe you should start sending some of your CDs out in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I will say quite blatantly that my disability does colour my songwriting. You know, there's a lot of stuff in there. Well, that isn't exactly all sweetness and light, and particularly cheerful.
Can I take a guess that that might be Different Man and You'll Always Be a Better Man?
Yeah, Different Man covers it. I mean, to be honest, I don't come out and say to people that Different Man is about my desire to be different because I'm disabled. People can generally, I mean, it's the first thing that a lot of people think of, but also people can interpret it as a need that people generally feel. You know, we all have moments where we feel, God, I wish I wasn't me.
Yeah.
You know, God, I wish circumstances was different. You'll always be a better man. My grandfather passed away last April. And to be honest, I didn't want to give a reading. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to do something personal. Mm-hmm. I wanted to write a song for him, about him, and about how I felt about him. And it just, the lyrics just came to me. I mean, I wrote the lyrics one weekend, wrote the lyrics on a Saturday and Sunday, took them to Gwyn on a Monday, and it took us all of 5 minutes to write the song, which is a rarity.
That's impressive.
You know, that doesn't happen, so it has to be good, and I performed it at the funeral service. So I'd like to perform it now. It's from the EP.
Thank you.
I never understood how your clouds and light was silver. Couldn't see how you always had a smile. Every problem had some kind of solution. You never hit a wall you couldn't just knock down. I don't know how you always saw the bright side when all I saw was darkness in this world. You saw a future with blue skies and sunlight. What I saw, well, I didn't even try. So maybe you can understand the TV manual. Whatever you thought, you weren't right all the time. But at least your heart could see the best in people. And somehow you saw the best in me. I know you didn't care if I never climb mountains or throw my cap high into the air. All that mattered was that I lived and was happy. Did you try to lift me up when I was down? Now maybe I can't ever follow your example And maybe I'll still be lost in anger and pain, but at least I'll always have you there in my memory. The face of a man I should have tried to be, 'cause you always were a better man than me. You'll always be a better man, a better man than me. A better man than me. A better man than me. A better.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm quite choked up now, actually, Mike. It was, he's obviously an inspiration to you, your grandfather.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he was one of those people who, well, as the song says, you know, he never saw any barriers, and he's always one for blue sky thinking. And I wanted to reflect on the song. It was the first thing that I thought of after he died, you know, and it was... It's always been the fact that I've always been the exact opposite, and I wanted to reflect that, you know, he was probably one of the best men that I've ever known in my life, and I wanted to reflect that. And, I mean, my mother, for example, was always very concerned when I wrote this song, because the first time she read the lyrics was before I'd ever got together with Gwen, and she was always concerned with the sentiment that I'm saying that my grandfather was a better man than I am. But to my mind... It was what I felt, it's what I still feel, and it's something I wanted to come across. It's a way of paying tribute to him. It's the biggest compliment I could ever pay to him, you know.
Do you ever have any political messages that you want to put across in your music? I mean, I think, for example, Since the Angels Left the Tower springs to mind. Political, with a small p, maybe?
I actually just see that as an example of storytelling. To be honest... Politics was completely far from my mind when I was thinking of Since the Angels Left the Tower. Since the Angels Left the Tower, the main thing of the chorus, the angels in the tower, it's a meaningless piece of imagery when taken in isolation, but I always kind of had this idea of people imagining the angels that were living in Los Angeles up in this ivory tower. That's what I had in my head when I wrote it. It was a bit more abstract, but to me it's just telling stories about people, that song, you know, this imagined sort of fictional idea of somewhere like Los Angeles, you know. It's I'm very sort of big into all things American. I've always kind of tapped into that. I've always found it much more interesting, you know, than trying to write about the valleys, you know, which
more choice.
And I've dealt with that in a song that I wrote years ago that Gwen won't remember, so. At the moment, yeah, Green Valley Blues, but Angels Left the Tower to me isn't political. It's storytelling.
Okay.
And this is Since the Angels Left the Tower. Looking through my window, staring hard at the world. There's a million and one stories waiting to be told, and somewhere past the neon, a pretty girl sells a soul for a dollar. There's an old man at a corner, sleeps in his own filth. His only friend is whiskey, and he drinks it to his health. Says it keeps him sane, as if he's got any left. And you only see stars in the flashy boulevards. You only see your name in lights. You only see prints in the middle of a star, but you don't see your real life. And you only see stars in your expensive cars. You only see a face on a screen. You only see a hand around a golden statuette, but you don't see anything. But nothing changes, no. They still come, I say they still come, to the streets of gold that had a lying ruin. But nothing changes, no. They still come, I say they still come. But the angels left the tower. I said the angels left the tower.
A guy named Joey served in Vietnam. He watched his friends come and he watched them get cut down in the beatnik. Hippies had the nerve to say you're doing wrong. There's a girl looking for a party surrounded by jerks. Come on, and she's hungover, feeling every bone. She'll be crying in 9 months' time when the baby's born, yeah. And you only see stars in the flashy boulevards. You only see a name in lights. You only see prints in the middle of a star, but you don't see real life. And you only see stars in your expensive cars. You only see a face on a screen. You only see hands round a golden statuette, but you don't see anything. But nothing changes, no, no. They still come, I say they still come, to the streets of gold that had a lying ruin. But nothing changes, no, no. They still come, I say they still come, but the angels left the tower. Looking from my window, staring hard at the world. There's a million one stories waiting to be told. And somewhere past the neon, a pretty girl sells her soul for a dollar.
Thank you.
That's lovely again. As a disabled person, have you ever come or found yourself in unusual or funny situations, Mike?
Well, there's one or two. Funny is depending on your perspective. once was going to a community arts venue that I've been to often and sort of asking them where the disabled access was and being told, oh, we've got disabled access. It's just up those stairs there, you know. you know, I mean, it's funny, really. My experience of disability, I will be honest, has not been the most positive in the world, you know. And I fed off that as an artist. I find a lot of things extremely, extremely funny, but not necessarily in a funny ha-ha, you know, kind of like a hearted way, you know, the way in which you'll be going along and somebody will be pushing your wheelchair and somebody will talk to the person who's pushing the wheelchair while you're there
syndrome.
Like a piece of meat,
yeah.
You know, kind of there, and you're thinking, no, I'm here, you know, and they're talking, having this conversation about me, and I'm just sat there, and I won't answer because If you've made that preconception, you know, if you've got that note, you know, if you've got that thing in your head that I'm clearly not going to be able to answer you, then I'm not suddenly going to pipe up because you're not really worth that kind of time, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I've always kind of felt like a bit of an outsider, and I've always kind of fed on that musically. You know, one of the things that I love about music is that it takes away those preconceptions. You know, a lot of the time you'll go on stage and you can see it in people's eyes that they're thinking, well, what's happening here, you know. I mean, I did the annual general meeting for an organisation called Disability Arts Cymru.
Oh, yeah.
In November. And you still had that sense then.
Really?
You know, this is a room full of people who support a charitable organisation which deals with disabled people. And you still got that sense when you're coming up in front of the audience, well, what's going to happen now, you know? But when you perform, and when you know that you've got people's attention, which doesn't happen all the time, but when you know that you've got their attention and that they're paying attention to what you're doing and the music, it suddenly becomes irrelevant.
Yes.
You know, they see you as a musician, they see you as an artist, and they realise from what you're trying to say through the songs that you are just another human being. We'll be right back.